This is your daily news fix, the Daily Brief, right here on RCR.
Good afternoon and welcome to RCR's Daily Brief. It's Wednesday, March 12th, and I'm Megan McNamara. First up, Paul Brennan will bring you the news. We'll hear from New Zealand First Leader and Deputy Prime Minister Winston Peters on his new members bill to remove DEI policies from the public service. We're joined by RCR political analyst William McGimsey on the loss of funding to Māori health provider Whānau Ora and John Tamahere's nonchalant response to his role in all of it. Then Natalie will take us to the end of the show with RCR Signpost. Now to the news.
Good afternoon, I'm Paul Brennan for RCR. Ukraine has agreed to accept an immediate 30-day ceasefire. US Secretary of State Marco Rubio says Washington will present the proposal to Moscow, emphasizing that the decision now rests with the Kremlin. The US has also confirmed it will resume intelligence sharing and security assistance to Kyiv. The joint statement outlines that the ceasefire could be extended if all parties agree. Washington and Kyiv also pledged to finalize a minerals agreement, which stalled after a tense Oval Office meeting between US President Donald Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Trump now plans to invite Zelensky back to the White House. Media outlet NZME has revealed six candidates vying for spots on its board, setting the stage for a pivotal battle over its future. Leading the challenge is Auckland-based Canadian billionaire Jim Grenon, who has plans for the New Zealand Herald once the board is successfully refreshed. His slate of contenders includes lawyer and blogger Philip Crump, private equity executive Des Gittings, and former Trade Me director Simon West. Shareholder Osmium Partners, which owns 6.75% of the company, has also filed nominations for the appointment of two new directors, John Lewis and Adam Hoydish. NZME says it will provide further details on the nominations ahead of the annual shareholders' meeting in April. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon has asked Public Services Minister Judith Collins to overhaul the Public Service Act to ensure meritocracy. He says the review will also consider whether New Zealand First's proposals to remove diversity, equity and inclusion measures could be incorporated into the new legislation. The move follows questions about New Zealand First's bill to eliminate woke policies in the public sector. Meanwhile, Mr. Luxon denies claims that cutting funding to all three Whānau Ora agencies was politically motivated. Up to 1,000 jobs could be lost as a result. Speaking to Moana Maniapoto, agency head John Tamahere refuses to take responsibility for losing the contract, despite allegations of conflicts of interest. Overseas, a report by the Australian Human Rights Commission finds the government's rigid COVID-19 policies violated Australians' human rights. Titled Collateral Damage, the report shows lockdowns, vaccine mandates and border closures caused avoidable harm. The report urges governments to adopt an emergency response framework prioritising human rights and community consultation. Human Rights Commissioner Lorraine Finlay said the report wasn't about blame, but about learning from the past. Armed militants have seized a passenger train in southwestern Pakistan near Balochistan, holding over 450 people hostage in an ongoing siege. The Baloch Liberation Army, which seeks independence, has claimed responsibility. Officials are conducting a rescue operation, but militants have warned of severe consequences if security forces intervene. And now for RCR Quick Links. Police have launched an operation searching for missing father Tom Phillips and his three children near Maricopa. South Africans have overtaken Filipinos as the third largest group of overseas-born citizens in New Zealand. Operations targeting critical minerals such as titanium, zirconium, gold and rare earth elements are driving mining activity and investment on the West Coast. Ontario has backed down on its 25% electricity export charge to three northern US states after Washington threatened to double tariffs. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer says he will not impose immediate counter-tariffs to the new US steel levies. And over 8,000 Syrian Alawites flee to Russian base amid jihadist killings, to ask for Russian protection. And that's RCR Bytes News for today. It's Wednesday, the 12th of March. I'm Paul Brennan.
Now let's turn to Paul Brennan's interview this morning with Winston Peters on his DEI members bill.
Winston Peters, thanks for coming back on RCR, Winston.
No, thank you. And thanks for discussing a very serious subject, which its architects don't want you to know about.
So members bill has to be pulled from a ballot,
It can be pulled from a ballot, but if people have a new experience, they become overcome with common sense, they might just start to adopt it when they're doing the public service review, which Judith Collins is doing right here, right now. But yeah. I'm certain on my evidence, I've got all the details and how many references. All these yellow line, this yellow highlights on these pages are references. I might add, they're in the appendix, they're in internal affairs. They've got also yearly reviews of how they're going and open confessions. We're not doing too much here. Maybe we got it wrong. So these little group, handpicked by themselves, never got a mandate, never got any authority, are out there running the society as they please. That's fascism.
Do they think they're the masters of the universe? Because they're just public service employees in the end, aren't they?
Well, you know the beady-eyed look sometimes you get at a restaurant when something comes up and their view is different to yours. It is a malignant, beady-eyed view that somehow you're a retard who doesn't understand society in the way that they uniquely do.
Do you have a sense of a timeline to clean this up? How long will it take?
Yeah, yesterday.
Peters also responded to comments made by John Tamahere on Te Ao News yesterday.
Have you seen John or heard about John Tamahere's interview with Moana Maniapoto? I've got a little quick clip here. It's only a few seconds long. I'll play it and get your reaction. Here we go.
Sooner or later, Mr. Luxon, Mr. Peters and Mr. Seymour will get the message that this is our whenua, that we're the tangata whenua, and unless we do wrong, we're allowed to trade the way we trade. If we surrender to this...
Don't take any responsibility.
What is it? Show me what my responsibility is. Bow my head... Get out of the party, Māori, don't be political, and become a slave.
And become a slave, Winston, become a slave.
Look, this is unbelievable. But remember, I said to him, listen, Tamahere, you've declared war on us, and we're not going to take it anymore. I reminded him that you were told never to try and practice law. They'd let you go and get your law degree, but never ever apply to practice law, because the first thing you got guilty of was forging and uttering. These are serious offences. Now we've got the charities law that's been breached, and what on earth is going on with the institutions? What's going on with the Electoral Commission? What's going on with the police? This is evidence time after time after time, and every time someone calls him to account, he shouts, it's racism.
Now let's hear from RCR political analyst William McGimpsey.
The government has taken the significant step of defunding the John Tamahere-led Whānau Ora Commissioning Agency. Whānau Ora will still exist as a program, but other agencies will be used as the intermediary between the government, which doles out the funds, and the health service providers on the ground in Maori communities that deliver the services. This move is an important step from the government. Power in the modern world is wielded through institutions. Successive governments have contributed to building up a little fiefdom, actually quite a large fiefdom, for John Tamahere. Fiefdoms are perhaps unavoidable when we're dealing with governments, bureaucracies and institutions, but we have quite strict rules around ensuring separation between political and non-political activity, and that is the issue here. John Tamahere's fiefdom blurs the lines between the political and the non-political. He funneled money from the Waipariri Trust to the Maori Party to be used in political campaigning, a clear breach of the rules for a charitable organisation. He funneled money from the National Urban Maori Authority to fund his 2019 political campaign for Mayor of Auckland. He was also involved in the Manurewa Marae debacle, where an investigation is underway to determine if personal data collected for the census was appropriated by staff at Manurewa Marae and used for political campaigning for Maori Party MP Tash Kemp. The net result is that significant government funding has passed through organisations under Tamahere's control, which he has used, in part, to fund and build a Maori political movement.
Waipareira Trust is a charity, right?
Yes.
Has to abide by certain rules.
Correct.
In order for it to maintain its tax-free status, right? Yep. Now, it hasn't.
Your allegation is that it hasn't.
Well, it's not mine. I'm just reflecting what a lot of different parties have said.
The question today is, after 5 years of investigation, are we deregistered?
Did Waipareira donate to your campaign, your mayoralty campaign, and then the 2020
I've just
campaign?
Said to you, it's in our annual report.
Yeah, but you're not meant to be doing it.
No, that's what you say, okay? So
but that's what the
well, then public service... Well, we're going around in circles here because you're alleging that these things lead to deregistration. That's what you're saying, right?
I'm saying that someone with your political nous, your experience as a former cabinet minister, your legal experience, yeah. your experience as a media activist, a broadcaster, everything, yeah.
And what?
That how come you did not think, geez, if we did this, we might be putting our organisations at risk?
No, we're not stupid. And so
I know you're not stupid.
But as long as we're honest... is the main thing, right? And as long as we don't launder money like Parker agencies and Parker people do, we have to be just overt with our community. They're very supportive of what we do in this community, and I'm happy with their support. If others want to insinuate, make allegations, audit, review, inquire, good on them.
Identity politics is legitimate and within the rules of a liberal democratic society, but there is no reason that the taxpayer should be contributing significant amounts of money to a partisan cause like this. Given the serious conflicts of interest, the perceptions of corruption, and the blurred lines between political and non-political activity, it is completely appropriate for the coalition government to defund Tamahere's fiefdom. If he wants to engage in Maori activism, that is his right, but he should do it on his own time and with his own resources. Consider that Bob McCroskey's Family First organisation lost its charitable status merely for engaging in advocacy work. Funding actual political campaigns is a much more significant problem, and if there is any fairness, the Waipareira Trust should lose its status as a charity also. The public sector is all too friendly with Maori organisations like Tamahere's. And this is a significant part of the reason for the immense number of Maorification initiatives that seem to emerge from it. Let's hope this is the first move of many in putting some more distance between the government and this type of activism. But it's not just Maori organisations the public service is in bed with. Another important aspect of woke is the various LGBTQ organisations the public service collaborates with. Organisations like Inside Out, that are behind the RSE curriculum, teaching our kids gender ideology in the schools and embedding it as normative throughout the public sector and across many of our other institutions. In order to take de-wokeification seriously, the next step is for the government to defund and cut ties not just with Maori organisations, but also with the plethora of rainbow organisations the public service currently does business with.
That wraps up our news and commentary for today. Over to you, Natalie, for the RCR Signpost.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Signpost, your go-to guide to the latest content and meaningful ways to take action. Up fresh on RCR today, Paul Brennan sits down with Deputy Prime Minister Winston Peters to discuss his plan to roll back DEI policies. Paul also chats with Professor Grant Schofield, who's calling for urgent health reforms focusing on prevention, mental health, and chronic disease management. And Sarah Henderson, from advocacy group Mana Wahini Kororo, breaks down the Midwifery Council's revised guidelines. If you want to provide feedback on the revised scope of practice, head to the Midwifery Council website, and if you want to go even further and ask for an investigation on how words like mother and baby were removed from the scope of practice, Mana Wahini Kororo are urging people to write to the Petitions Committee on the parliamentary website with the request. On Money Talks, CEO and publisher Simon Angelo argues that to rebuild wealth, New Zealand needs bold, disruptive leadership, and maybe even a new industry. While on the Brennan Barometer, Paul exposes media overhype on aviation stories. And don't miss this, Rodney Hyde talks with Alana Savage, founder of A Lighter Way, about her groundbreaking weight loss program, which helped him to lose 15 kilograms effortlessly. No dieting or willpower required. Coming up at 8 p.m. tomorrow night on RCR 360, Alistair Harding and Marie Buskey take a deep dive into digital manipulation, just as the Privacy Commissioner considers a biometric privacy code, a hot topic from Monday's biometrics webinar. Public feedback closes this Friday, 14th of March. Get the facts and please have your say. The link will be in the show notes or visit privacy.org.nz. And finally, our fantastic friends at Marlborough Wine, MWL, have an exclusive deal for Foundation members. Check your latest bites email to unlock your special discount. If you're not a member, don't worry. Everyone can still save 15% using code RCR15 at checkout. And for even more value, grab the RCR Mixed Case Value Pack. Order two cases and get free shipping.
And that's all from us today at The Daily Brief. As always, you'll find all the links to the interviews featured in today's show below. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and analysis. I'm Megan McNamara for The Daily Brief.